Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. Today we're studying Yirmiyahu Perek Tet, Chapter 9, our series of Shiurim is in conjunction with the OU Nachyomi Project and sponsored with the help of the Cyprus Foundation. Chapter 9 continues from Chapter 8. It's also part of the Haftarah from Tisha B'Av. Other than translating the words, it's pretty much the same theme as before. Yirmiyahu was crying about the sad situation that Am Yisrael is in. Yirmiyahu basically reached the conclusion there's not much hope for the people. He tried to prevent the destruction. The people don't get his message. And Perek Tet is pretty much like Echa. It's very much it's a kina. It's a lament for the terrible situation that they're in. We begin with Pasuk Aleph. Meet neni b'midbar malon orchim v'ezvatami v'ocham itam. Yirmiyahu is saying, if I could only just be in the desert, if I could only cut myself off from these people, if I could only have a hotel room on some desert way, and I could leave my people and walk away from them. Why is Yirmiyahu so anxious and eager to leave his people? Ki chulam menafim. They're all adulterers. Atzeret bogdim. They're a gathering of people who betray one another. Be'adruchuet l'shonam kashtam sheker. Here we have a play on words. A keshet is a bow. And when you pull the bow back, that's called lidroch et a keshet. When you put the arrow on the bow and you pull it back, that's called lidroch et a keshet. Just like nowadays in modern Hebrew, when you cock a gun, it's called the drach et neshek. Just like the archer prepares the bow to shoot it, so too, the mouths are so full of falsehood and trickery that Yirmiyahu compares the way they're talking to an archer getting ready to shoot an arrow. A person who speaks evil and can cause people a lot of harm is being compared here to an archer. V'lo le'muna gavru ba'aretz. And all they're talking is not in order to increase belief in God. Ki Mira'a el-ra'a yetzau. Everyone's going from one bedway to another bedway. Voti lo yedaunu madunai. Me, they don't know. What does it mean to know God will be the main theme of our study today. We'll get to that towards the end of chapter 9. But keep that in mind. Yirmiyahu over and over again talks about the people don't know God. What's it mean to know God? Is it something intellectual or is it about behavior? We'll see very soon. Ish mira'eu hishameru. Yirmiyahu is warning them, everyone should be wary of his own friend. Don't even trust in your brethren. Even brothers can't trust one another. Every brother is trying to trick one another. Akov also means crooked. Every friend is really gossiping about his friend behind his back. They're going from one place to another, speaking gossip. Rachel Yihaloch is from the Lashon and Parshat Doshim. Lo telech rachil b'amecha, halicha. The verb halicha, laloch, goes with the word rachil. Vish bere'eu, ihatelu. Each man mocks his friend. Ve'emet lo yedaveru. No one speaks truth about one another. Limdu l'shonam, daber sheker, havein ilu. They're training and teaching their tongues to speak falsely. And they strive to do iniquity. Havein miloshen aven. Shiftecha b'toch mirma. Your dwelling place is in a place full of deceit. This deceitfulness, this mirma, is holding them back from their ability to know God. Therefore, God says as follows, Yirmiyahu returns now to his analogy from several chapters ago about a silversmith making a hot fire to melt down the metal to clean out the impurities. The bochein is the person checking the metal to make sure it's pure. God says, I'm going to heat them up like someone heats up metal. He's going to test them. Ki echetzem b'bnei batami. What else can I do because of the ways of my nation? He's going to describe again how bad they are. Chet shachut l'shonam mirma diber. Their tongues are like a drawn arrow. The same imagery that he used before. Speaking deceit. L'shonam mirma diber. Speaking deceit all the time. V'fiv shalom et re'eu yidaber. Openly, they speak peacefully with their friend. They're pretending to be nice to one another. Uvikirbo yesimarbo. But inside, he's plotting to trick him in something. They're pretending to be friendly with one another, and everyone's plotting, trying to trick one another to take advantage of them. Ha'oile lof kadbam lumadunai. Can I not punish them for this type of behavior? God says. In begoya shir kazeh lo titnakim nafshi. Do you think it's possible for me not to take my vengeance against a nation like this, a nation chosen to represent me, acting in such a deceitful way, I have to do something about it. I'm going to cry out up on the mountains. Bechi is crying and Nehi is anamanapia for a type of wailing. In the pastures in the wilderness, I'll sing a lament. Why? All these places which were once settled and people were living in are now going to become dried out. No one will pass by. No longer will they hear the noise of cattle. Even the birds in the heaven and the animals and the land, they walked away from these places. When there's no more people living there because of this destruction, there's no more food, no more food, no more animals, no more birds. Now even the birds and the animals are going to leave the country. I'll make Yerushalayim heaps of rubble, a serpent's lair. Ve'arei Yehuda etein shmama. The cities of Yehuda will lay desolate. Mibli yoshev, no one will be living there. Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yaven etzot. Who will be the wise man who will be able to understand this? Bashir diber pi Adonai elav v'yagina. And who is the person who God has spoken to and he can tell over and explain this to the people? Amma avda ha'aretz. For what reason is the land being destroyed? Nitzta chamidban mibli yoshev. Why is it that it's dried out like a desert with no one passing by? And now God gives the answer. Vayomar Adonai, Allah zva metorati, because they left my Torah. I think the word Torah here is referring to the word Torah in Sefer Dvarim, which we'll have to return to when we explain the word De'ah, what it means to know God. Asher natati lifneim, that I gave them. V'lo shamu b'koli, v'lo chuba. They didn't listen to my voice. They didn't follow my ways. They didn't holech, they didn't go in the way of the Torah. Bayachu achrei shrut libam, instead they followed the vision of their hearts. V'achrei ha'balim, asher limdu ma'avotam. And they followed the balim that their fathers had taught them. I want to return to this idea when Yirmiyahu talks about the people worshipping Baal, even though the Baal has been destroyed. We mentioned this in an earlier shir. I'll summarize the main point, that Avodat Baal is primarily a type of idol worship where the person worshipping the idol, his primary interest is in what's in it for him. There's a rain god, the person wants rain. He doesn't identify with that god, he simply needs that god. And the worship of that god is for the interest so that that god will provide him with something. When the people turn to God only in the interest of what God can do for them, they come to the Beit HaMikdash and pray to God. They want God to help their economy. They want God to help them in battle. They don't understand that they also need to represent God. We're going to suggest that that is what Yirmiyahu is referring to by following the Baal. In the eyes of the people, he's exaggerating. As we saw before, since Perek Zayin, we saw before in chapter 7, the people were in the Beit HaMikdash. And he calls them, you're being mekater to Baal. He calls them, you're sacrificing to Baal. The people don't buy what he's saying. But Yirmiyahu is claiming that their worship of God is no different than idol worship. They think they're worshiping God, but they're not worshiping God the way God wants them, the way God wants them to be worshipped. We're going to see that very soon. We're going to see that in several psukim when Yirmiyahu explains what does it mean to know God. Or in essence, what does God expect from them? And that's one of the main themes in the laws of the Torah, as explained in Sefer Dvarim. Remember, Sefer Dvarim, the main laws of Sefer Dvarim is introduced by the Pasuk, V'zot HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe. The whole set of laws from chapter 5 to 26 in Sefer Dvarim are referred to as the Torah. And the Torah is the manner in which Am Yisrael as a nation establishes a nation representing God in the land of Israel. And therefore, when Yirmiyahu said beforehand, for what reason is the land being destroyed? Asher azvam et Torati, because they left my Torah. I think he's referring to the guidelines of Sefer Dvarim in regard both to the proper attitude to God and the type of nation he wants us to establish. We continue now in Pasuk Yudalet in verse 14. Lachen kol ma'adonai tzvot elahi Yisrael. Therefore, again, the message from God. Hini machilam et ha'am hazeh la'ana v'shkitim mirosh. Therefore, I'm going to feed these people a plant called la'ana. Some people translate it as wormwood, or maybe some poisonous plant. V'shkitim mirosh, I'm going to give them some poison to drink. V'afitzotim bagoyim, I'm going to spread them out among the nations. Asher lo yadu, hema v'avotam, I'm going to send them to nations that they themselves never knew before, neither they or their parents. V'shilachti acharem et acherev, and when I send them out, I'm going to chase them with sword afterwards. They're not just going to go into exile, they're going to suffer in exile as well. Ad kaloti otam, until I annihilate them. Kol mar donai tzvot. God's going to call now to the women to tell them to prepare, to cry, to wail, and to eulogize. Hidbonenu v'kirula mekonenot utvoena. Contemplate what's going on. The mekonenot, and call out to the mekonenot, these women singing these laments, call out to them, let them come. V'lachachamot shechu v'tavona. To the wise women, send for them and they'll come. They're calling all these women together to scream and cry and lament. Utmaherna v'tisena aleinu nehe. Let them come quick and let them raise up their voices and cry out. V'teirana einenu dima. They'll cause our eyes to run with tears. V'afapenu yuzlumayim. Our eyelashes will be full of water from tears. Why? Ki ko nehi nishma mitzion. Ech shudadnu. The lament is coming from Tzion. How have we been plundered and robbed? Boshnu me'od ki azavnu aretz. We're greatly shamed because we now have to leave our land. Ki shlichu mishkonotenu. They've sent out our homes, or they've sent us out of our homes. Again, the lament they're saying about a nation going into exile, leaving their homes, being sent to a different land, and being killed and destroyed. Ki shemana nashim dvar Adonai. Again, Yirmiyahu calls out to the women to listen to the word of God. V'tikachos nechem devar piv. Listen, have your ears listen to my words. V'lamedna benotechem nei. Now teach your daughters how to lament and cry. V'sharu utah kina. Let each woman teach her friend how to lament, how to sing kinot. Ki ala mavet b'chaloneinu. The death is coming through our windows. We're closing our doors, but it gets in through our windows. Baba Manotenu, it's coming into our palaces. Lachrit Olam Michutz, it's going to come and kill the infants in the outdoors. Bachurim Merchovot, the young children who play in the streets, they too will be killed. Taber Konum Adonai, speak out that this is the word of God. V'nafla nivlat ha'adam k'domen apanei ha'sadeh, the carcasses of all these people are going to be scattered like dung on an open field. And like a sheaf of wheat put down by the harvester, and no one collects it. Usually when you harvest your field, you gather the wheat together that you cut off and put it into a pile. And then afterwards, people come together and take all the omarim and put it into a bigger pile. But here, we're cutting down the wheat, meaning we're cutting down the people and killing them, and no one gathers their bodies from the open field. Finally, Yirmiyahu gets to his main point. And this would be the key to understanding what's wrong with the people and why the people think they're doing fine and what God wants from them instead. Pasach Abet. Kol Ma Adonai. This is the message of God. Ayitalel chacham b'chokhmato. The wise person shouldn't glorify himself in his wisdom. Vayitalel hagibor b'gvuroto. And the mighty person, the mighty and strong person, he shouldn't glorify himself about how strong he is. By talel ashir boshro. And the wealthy man should not glorify himself because of how rich he is. The Navi isn't saying that it's not good to be strong, it's not good to be wise, or it's not good to be wealthy. But rather, that's not the goal in life. The goal isn't to be strong, that's not a goal in itself. And wealth isn't a goal in itself, nor is wisdom. All those traits that a person may have, and all those resources that a person may have, therefore, a higher goal. And what's that? Kim bezot yitalel hamitalel. In what way should a person glorify himself? What should he be? What should be his goal in life? What should he strive to? Haskel v'yadolati. He should contemplate, use his brain, use his understanding, and get to know God. What does it mean to know God? Yirmiyahu finally explains what it means to know God. Ki ani Adonai. Because I'm God, Oseh Chesed Mishpat Utzdaka Ba'aretz. What does God do? God does acts of kindness, justice, and righteousness in the land. Ki Ve'ele Chafatzdinu Madonai. Because it's acts like these that I want. That is the word of God. Yirmiyahu is defining here, what does it mean to know God? Ladat et Hashem. He mentioned that earlier in the parak. My nation doesn't know me. That was saying before, over and over again. To know God, according to Yirmiyahu, is the total understanding and internalizing that as a member of Am Yisrael, the primary thing a person has to do is do chesed, tzedek, u'mishpat, kindness, justice, and righteousness. And that goes back to one of the most important psukim in Sefer Bereshit, in chapter 18, verse 18, that we talked about in our series in Yeshayahu, that in chapter 18 in Sefer Bereshit, in Pasuk 18, when God explains to the reader of Chumash, why was it that he chose Avraham Avinu to be this great nation? In Pasuk 19, in Pasuk Yeter, it says, I chose Avraham Avinu, I came to know him, I entered a special relationship with him. In Chumash, Ladat means to have an intimate relationship. Therefore, it can also mean marriage. But it also means to know God, to have a close relationship with him. How does someone build that relationship? In order that he would command his children, and they their children, they would follow the way of God. It's exactly this idea. To follow the way of God. To do acts of justice and righteousness. In order that God will bring about on Avram what he said about him, that he'll become a great nation. Is a challenge, not just a promise. God is challenging Avraham Avinu to begin this family tradition, establish a nation characterized by tzedek u'mishpat, to be a model nation for other nations to learn from. That's the primary thing that God wants, and the laws of the Torah are the guidelines for us to accomplish that. What the people understand is simply the ritual. I have to follow God, I have to keep his laws, I have to feed him, and their relationship with God is not an understanding that I have to represent him. They don't understand that their behavior is the most important. They understand God like the other nations understand their gods, like idol worship. And that's why Yirmiyahu is constantly yelling at the people, they're following idols, they're worshiping idols because they treat God like an idol. Just like what happened in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel when they take the Aron to battle. And they say the Aron can save us in war. That's not taking the Aron because they appreciate God and understand God. That's viewing God like an idol. They simply want a God that can save them in battle. Yirmiyahu is explaining that's the point that they're missing. Interestingly enough, in the Rambam, in Morin Nevuchim, in the very last chapter, in Chelek Gimel, the last section, in section 3 of Morin Nevuchim, he uses exactly this concept from Yirmiyahu. One of the primary goals of studying and knowing God, Ladat et Hashem, is the understanding and internalizing that what God requires of us is to do tzedek u'mishpat. It pays to see that last section in the end of Morin Nevuchim. And it definitely ties in beautifully but with what Yirmiyahu is saying here in chapter 9. Now the parak ends. Hine yamim ba'im nu'um Adonai. Days are coming. Ufakarati akomu borla. I'm going to punish the Jews and the non-Jews. The mu is referring to those who are circumcised, referring to Am Yisrael. Borla, the other nations. Most commentators understand it that way. Amitzrayim ba'u Yehuda. On the Egyptians, God's going to bring Bavel, they're going to punish Egypt and Yehuda. They'll call Adom, they'll bnei Amon, they'll Moav. On the Edomites, on the Ammonites, on the Moabites. Ba'al kol pe'ah yoshvim ba'midbar. Here's referring to the nations in the periphery, on the edge of the desert, because of kshutzei pe'ah. Pe'ah is the corner of the field. Ki chol ha'goim arilim. All the nations are arilim. Am Yisrael, who performs circumcision, and has brit milah, but they don't follow God. God's people, maybe they physically are circumcised, but their hearts aren't circumcised. They haven't uncovered the heart with a proper understanding of God, and therefore he calls Am Yisrael as well Arlei Lev, as he mentioned before. This kina, this lament, is going to continue to the end of Perek Yud. Our next shir will be on chapter 10, where we finish this rather sad section of Yirmiyahu. In chapter 11, we'll begin a new set of units, and then we'll begin to discuss, when we get to chapter 11, we'll begin to assess the history and go back and try to understand these events and from a different angle as we follow the historical events from Sefer Melachim and Divrei Hayamim.